today's show, What You Don't Know About Your Enemy. Can't wait to get into this topic today. We have back Roger Sorrow. He is a certified trainer for the Center for Nonviolent Communication and has been since 2001. Nonviolent Communication, NVC, has changed Roger's life. It gave him a process to understand what was going on inside of him and express it without criticizing, blaming, or making others wrong. NVC gave him the tools to differentiate between what was happening and the story he was making up about it. This opened up the door to authenticity and accountability as he connected to his feelings and values and became empowered to express his truth openly and vulnerably. At the same time, there was now space inside of him to see and connect with others. Roger can now hear others and what's alive in their hearts. This process is powerful, and he can support individuals and couples and groups and organizations. To find out more about Roger and how he can help you and your group or couples make any situation a win-win, go to chooseconnection.com. And when you come over to the site, fittolove.tv, all of his contact information and links to his site will be made available to you. We welcome back Roger. He was one of my teachers of NVC, nonviolent communication, and it's a pleasure and a joy. I love this work. Thank you, Roger, again so much for being here. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, JJ. It's fun to be back. And I'm really excited about this topic today. I'm really kind of pumped about it. The title that we came up with, What You Don't Know About Your Enemy. NBC is very, very revealing in this area. I'd like to begin with what is an enemy image, or what is an enemy?
Let's start with before, because this is going to be, I've never done a show with enemy in the title before. And so all of a sudden people are like, probably going to think, what is this about? What do you mean enemy? Who's my enemy? And what's an enemy? And why would I even worry about an enemy? So let's start with that. Let's talk about enemy.
Right. So an enemy is somebody that we have a judgment about, that we have a belief about, that we have a story about, that there's something bad about them. That they're wrong, that they're less than human. Yeah. Maybe we're turning them into a villain, or maybe we're turning them into a hero, but in either case, they're no longer human. And so this is how enemy images get born. It's an image that I have of somebody else based on my judgments and my beliefs that are generating this enemy image. We all probably have lots of them that we're not aware of. Okay, let me give you some examples that I think it'll help our listeners get to what we're talking about by when we say enemy. Have you ever had a boss who doesn't listen? You ever had a boss that's demanding and irritable and he just wants it done his way and do it my way and do it now? Yeah, and so an enemy image gets born in that way. Sometimes we think of somebody as similar to that boss as a dictator, okay? Again, they're selfish and they only want to get their needs met. Then there's the enemy image of somebody who is an abuser in relationships. And this is, again, somebody who, an example of how that might play out is, this is the couple that you see, and it could be either the man or the woman, or either one of them could be putting the other person down in public. It could be the other person criticizing or telling stories about their partner that would be really embarrassing in a public forum. I realize there's many forms of abuse in relationships, but that would be one, okay? Oh, gosh, and then I think the last time I was on, I talked about maniac drivers, okay? And that's somebody who drives in a way that we don't enjoy, and they do, they do the tailgating thing, or they cut us off, and those are some of the behaviors. But they drive in ways that we think that's rude and thoughtful and inconsiderate and dangerous. Oh, then there's people who ignore you, okay, and they're just flat out rude. Oh, here's one of my favorites. This is the person who talks on and on and on again. And Kelly Bryson, one of my favorite NVC trainers, refers to these people as Babylonians. right. And I think he said that there's a 12-step recovery process for him called On and On and On Anonymous. The true super Babylonian is somebody who can talk on both the exhale and the inhale. And so we've probably all encountered people like that. I enjoy Kelly's humor. And then there's the person who interrupts. Oh gosh, and then we all know about crooked politicians. you know, and they're just paid off by lobbyists, and all they do is lie. And then there's bad cops. Bad cops could be one that use their power to, you know, hurt people and get their needs met, or maybe they take payoffs. And then there's greedy corporations that they're just interested in profits, and they don't care about the environment. They don't care about their employees. They don't care about people, where profits are more important than life itself. So that's a little starter list. And I'm sure that all of us could embellish upon that and add even more. Does that give you a sense of what we're talking about, JJ, regarding an enemy image?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And actually, there are probably even family members that could be put in there, right? Like anybody that's had an issue with, you know, who no longer speaks to certain family. But, you know, the idea of enemy, again, so let's go back for a second. The show that we did before, which was called Transforming Limiting Beliefs, we talked about the idea of nonviolent communication. And one of the things that in the beginning I wasn't attracted to, the idea of, because I don't identify myself as a violent communicator. However, as we talked about, there are a lot of things that we all do that we don't consider violent, but kind of are, and they disconnect us from each other. And so same thing with the word enemy. Like when I think of enemy, I think of someone that I might want to hurt or eliminate, so to speak, right? And so that feels really harsh to me. But what you've just described really is that energy of someone that you are judging, someone that you think is wrong, someone who is in opposition to you. You might not want to eliminate them, but it really is that enemy. So for this show, obviously, enemy is really anyone that you judge or disagree with, right?
Right. Where we have a moralistic judgment about them, that they're wrong, they're bad, they're evil, that we have a strong belief there that they're bad and they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. So then the way that nonviolent communication supports us in working with this to reestablish connection, okay, is first of all, I would pick one of these enemy images to work with. And so and the first time I'm doing this process, I'd probably want to do it outside of the moment when it's actually happening, you know, so that I can practice the process and learn the process. And then so that when it happens the next time that, oh, I have another option here. If instead of responding in the habitual way, I could respond using my new skill here.
Before we get to that first step, because there is one more question that I want to,
okay.
I want to prepare everyone listening to hear it and receive this information. Like, why would I want to know? So we just talked about enemies. Why, what I don't know about my enemy? Well, the first thought someone might think is, well, why do I care? And why would I want to care about my enemy? So I want to have the selling point first of the idea of what happens, and maybe you can speak to this, when you have those judgments, and we've talked about the disconnection. So if I'm sitting here and I'm morally judging someone and saying that I think you're wrong, why do I care about them? And why, so sell me on, Roger, why, what do I get out of this by transforming my ideas about my enemy when I don't like them and I don't care about them and I think they're wrong?
So it would be because when we're holding an enemy image that about somebody, what happens is that then they're no longer human, okay? There's a break in connection between myself and that other person. Also, what's going on inside me when I'm holding this judgment about somebody else? That typically now there is restriction within myself, maybe anger, maybe fear, and it's a way in which I'm shutting down. My heart is closing, okay? And when that happens, then I'm less present in the moment to the possibilities for connection with the other person, but also with myself. So I'm going in a direction that's not going to serve life. I'm going in a direction that's going to result in less needs getting met. And so when I notice I have an enemy image, I'm wanting to get present to it and shift it so that I have more options, more possibilities, more liberation, more freedom, more choices in ways in which I can connect with this person, find common ground so that my needs can get met as well as theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I could just add, for those of you that are listening, and maybe you don't want connection. Maybe there's a part of you that has resistance to connection. Let's not think about the other person just in this very hot moment. So as Roger's saying, we have disconnection inside of ourselves. We've got a lack of love. And to bring in another kind of teaching through Brené Brown and vulnerability, when you block yourself off to feeling or to being open to connection, you also block off anything good happening. So this isn't necessarily about the other person. It's about opening yourself up to connection within yourself, to better feelings, because who really likes to be angry? Anger can be toxic. So we want to be able to notice all of these things. And then, because most angry people aren't happy people. And if you ask them if they're happy, they'd probably notice that they're angry all the time. So this is work that we're doing that benefits. It's a win-win. It benefits everybody. But it's really about that internal work you do with yourself about the other person so that you have better feelings and then you're open to connection and better experiences, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that. That's the first step in the process is getting present to the price that I'm paying for holding this enemy image. You know, and what's going on inside my own body? What feelings are being generated? So I'd like to go forward with that first step in the process. Does that work for you now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was part. I still wanted to sell everybody on the idea of, because I know for me, like if I have that thought, someone else has that thought.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, because now that we've talked about who are these enemies and I'm generating people in my life, and I'm thinking, but I don't necessarily want connection and I don't want to do work that benefits them necessarily, right? But I know that it doesn't benefit just them, it benefits me. It's a win-win, but it starts with me. So go ahead, let's go through the first step of this process.
Okay, right. So the first step then would be to get an observation of actually what happened. And so I like to begin with, you know, kind of the story. So for this, I'm going to pick an example of one of these enemy images over here. I'm really kind of drawn to Babylonians and people who can talk on and on and on again. Okay. And so when I sit down at a party or a family gathering or a meeting and I find myself next to somebody who talks on and they just talk and talk and talk. And, you know, it's like, so my story mixed together with some of my judgments would sound like well, they talk nonstop, you know. They use up all available airspace. They never shut up. They're thoughtless and rude and inconsiderate and don't ever give anybody else a chance to speak. And so one of the things with enemy images is my judgments, they start feeding on each other. And as that happens, then what's going on inside my body is there's frustration and irritation and tightness and restriction. And my heart is closing and I'm less present. And so an observation would be, if we were to have recorded the conversation between me and the Babylonian, it would be they spoke about 80 to 90% of the time, and I spoke about 10 or 20%. That would be like an observation. And I'm real frustrated, and universal human needs or values that are alive for me or present for me in this moment is I want the opportunity to speak. I want to be heard. I want to be able to contribute to the conversation. I'm really wanting there to be a balance, kind of a give and a take, a flow between us that would support connection and with the other person and connection with myself. That's what would really be fun, okay? And so that's the first step is I get present to what it is that I'm wanting, okay? I notice the enemy image, you know, and then what are the things that are going on that stimulated that enemy image and those judgments? Then how do I feel? You know, what are my feelings about it? Oh, there's frustration. What am I really wanting? Okay. And what I'm wanting there is balance and flow, a chance to express and be heard and to contribute. And so I'm wanting to shift my focus on what it is that I'm wanting. Okay. When I put my attention there, then my body relaxes. Ah, now I'm more present. Okay. And so then I'm ready to go to step number two, which is I wonder what's going on for this other person. What's the good reasons that they speak in the way in which they do? What needs are they trying to meet by doing what it is that they do? And so they're using a lot of words, and so they seem to be fairly animated in it and with some excitement. And so I'm guessing that they're wanting to contribute, they're wanting to express. They're wanting to be heard, and I'm kind of surprised that I'm guessing that they have pretty much the same needs that I do, that I have all those same needs, and I'm wanting them to be able to express and get heard. And when I think about that and put my focus on this is a person who wants to be heard. This is a person who really has something to say. And I'd like to connect with them, okay? And I'm also wanting balance, and I'm wanting to be heard too. So remembering what my needs are and my heart opening, and I can get to what I think their needs are. And so then I go to a request of myself. Okay, this is the third step. So the request of myself in the moment would be, I want to speak up in a way that's going to lead to more connection between the two of us. Okay, so with a Babylonian, I might just simply speak up and say, excuse me, I'm really wanting to get this, and I'd really like to connect with you. And how would it be if I reflect back this last piece you said, I want to make sure that I got it, okay? I've connected with myself, and I'm wanting to connect with them. And so I speak up and let them know that I'd like to connect. And then I suggest that, you know, I'd like to reflect back what I've got to make sure I'm getting you. Typically, people think, okay. And then after that, then I make a request. How would it, you know, I'd like to be heard, and how would it be for you to listen to me for 3 minutes? Typically, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, that's sure. And so then we can start moving towards the balance. I have 3 minutes, and I can get a lot said in 3 minutes, and I can express myself on the topic, or let them know what's going on for me, what's alive, and check then and see what's coming up for them. And so the process is simple. Okay, there's three big steps to it. Okay, first is stop and breathe and connect with myself. When I am working with an enemy image, okay, that I want to take a look at, you know, what's the behavior, you know, what's the observation that's going on that's stimulating me. And I want to then take a look at my judgments, and I want to be able to get to my feelings and my needs. And that takes practice. But with practice, we can become fairly proficient at it, and I can get to what my need is. And then the second step is, then I'm wondering what needs they're trying to meet, okay? And again, this takes practice, but with practice, we can become fairly proficient. You know, we can, what's important to this person, and I can make a pretty good guess and pretty quickly. And then now that I'm connected to, aware of what, you know, my needs are, their needs are, then it's pretty easy then to formulate a little strategy, a way, well, how could both of our needs get met? And then take action on that would be the third step.
Yeah, that's great. And so just to review one more time, you're going to stop and breathe and connect with yourself and identify your feelings and needs and identify the judgments and the behaviors and what's coming up for you about that. And then the second step, so almost like the first step is about you. You're the first person, right? The second step's about the second person. What's their need? What's going on with them?
Right.
And then the third step is to make the bridge between the two of how can we get both of our needs met? What's the strategy to get both of those needs met, which is very easy to follow, but definitely needs a little practice to implement, as well as a little bit of awareness. So we are going to talk a little bit more about not only this process, but sort of all the implications of this process. Like, I want you to answer when we come back. We do need to go to break, but anyone that's thinking this is about forgiving the other person, is this about forgiveness? So when we come back, Roger's going to talk a little bit more about this whole process, making it easier for you. Where do you start? And is it about forgiveness? So we'll be right back. Okay, Roger. So is this process about forgiving the other person?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a process that involves forgiveness and actually dissolving that enemy image, that person becomes a human being again, and a person that has needs, and that the needs that they have are the same ones that I have. I'd be able to see a person who is doing their very best in this moment to try to get their needs met in the best way that they know how. And I want them to get their needs met. And I'm wanting them to be able to get their needs met in a way that I can get my needs met too. That both of us can get our needs met. And so once I've shifted to, you know, this person's a human being trying to meet their needs, then my heart opens, okay? Then that's where it's similar to forgiveness, when I'm no longer blaming or judging the other person, okay? And I see them as human, okay? Then my heart opens. And so that's for me, the biggest benefit in forgiveness is that I'm no longer carrying a grudge or a judgment. I'm no longer feeding myself poison and hoping the other person's gonna die.
So let's say, but maybe someone's not ready to forgive someone. And I know that that's kind of defeats the purpose of the whole like dissolving enemy. But enemy was a strong word to choose, right? We chose a really strong word. And so I think, how can one start to work backwards? So we could recognize, hey, I have these judgments and they don't serve me. They cut me off. I stay stuck in anger and judgment and blame. And I don't feel love. I don't feel joy. I don't feel connection. So that's like the first awareness. And then how do I start with practicing this on a less charged person or on someone that, you know, maybe I've got a mild judgment about, but, you know, how this can affect my life and their life.
Yeah. So the way to work it backwards would be, is the first thing I need to do is I need to get empathy for myself, for what this has been like for me, and forget about forgiving the other person. Forget about dissolving the enemy. They really are a jerk. Okay. And they're a jerk because, you know, they said this and they did that and blah, 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 blah. And get all those jackals, all those judgments out on the table. And then we begin the process of starting translating. What are my needs? What's really important to me here? What's really most important to me about this situation? And I want to be able to identify those needs. And then I really want to connect with the energy of those needs. So back to that example of the Babylonian, I'm really wanting a chance to be heard. I'm really wanting to be able to contribute to the conversation. What's really more, you know, I'm wanting to connect. I'm wanting there to be a balance in the give and the take and the flow of in the conversation between the two of us. Okay, that's really what would be the most fun for me here. That's, you know, that's what's alive. And so once I shift my attention to what I'm wanting in that way, then my heart opens, and for me, it's almost an organic process then to wonder what's, you know, going on for the other person. You know, what's the good reasons they do the things that they do? And maybe I've never even had that thought before. You know, I've just thought, you know, those maniac drivers out there that there's something wrong with them. And but to really take the moment to think about how come they're driving the way they are. What's the good reasons? What's the needs that they're trying to meet by doing what they do? And with the, you know, the maniac drivers out there on the freeway, well, guess what? Maybe they're on the way to the emergency ward because a family member's been hurt. Maybe they're on their way to their job and it would be the third time they were going to be late this week and they're going to lose their job. Maybe it's just fun. This is the fun way. This is how they meet their need for fun. And any of those cases, you know, I want them to get their needs met. And I'm wanting them to be able to do that in a way that all of us, everybody else can get their needs met at the same time. That's what's in it for me. You know, it's just like the first thing that happens is I have more connection with myself. I have more inner peace. I'm more present. I'm in a more resourceful place to respond to them as well as whatever else might be going on.
Right. So if you're out there and you're frustrated and you feel like you blame a lot of people for things and you feel like you're so affected by everyone else's behavior, this would be a great place to start to analyze and check in with yourself about what it is that you need and how you can get those needs met. And then it's not really anyone else's job. I mean, you can create a strategy, and then obviously that immediately dissolves enemy issues. So, and enemy images. So now, Roger, we've talked a lot about NVC and these processes, and for some people, this is going to be the first time that they may have heard about this. Maybe they didn't hear our first show. They've never heard of this before. How can they get in touch with you? How can they learn more about the process, about all the things we've talked about? Start practicing it. Start implementing it. Let them know what you have to offer.
Thank you, JJ. So what I'd like to suggest to folks is that they simply go to my website, which is chooseconnection.com. And on my website, then you can take a look at my calendar and see the different things that are coming up. There's classes in the basics of nonviolent communication. That particular class is called Compassionate Communication. There's a date for that. There's another class on how to enjoy anger. Next week, we're going to start a teleclass series that's about Let's Talk Sex. And then the big event that's coming up is the Nonviolent Communication Conference. This is the 8th annual conference. Hundreds and hundreds of people attend this. That's going to take place on April 18th and 19th. I'm bringing in about 15 trainers from around the country and that some of you know, but new people wouldn't. But if Some of the folks that others will know are Jim and Jory Mansky, Mary McKenzie, again, about 15 trainers from around the country. And that conference will be bilingual, so it's also in Spanish. So very excited about that. And all my contact information is on the website. There's free downloads for resources and handouts and some video clips to look at. There's a ton of resources available online. If you just simply go to YouTube and Google and put in NVC, it was developed by Dr. Marshall Rosenberg, and there's an abundance of resources available.
Excellent. So again, that's chooseconnection.com.